It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Vito to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 28th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I'm doing okay, Taryn. Just trying to keep up with all of this mess, which you'd think I'd be more equipped for at this point, but that's a lot. Whew. This will not be like Monday's update.
We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 53 in the house, and it was a big day with a big veto draw and then a big veto competition if the veto draw went well for certain people. Those people, of course, being Michael. So obviously, Kyle is the HOH. Turner is the HOH. Yeah.
No, Kyle's just the sleep paralysis demon looming over him.
And Turner nominated Taylor and Brittany with the intention of backdooring Michael. So the big question of the day is, will Michael even be chosen to play in the veto? If he is, then the veto matters. If he's not, then it doesn't matter who wins the veto. Michael is just straight up a goner. So that's the big thing in the first portion of the day. And it takes quite a while to even get to the veto draw because we're going to have a late veto competition here in the night. So yeah, there's plenty to get through.
They let them sleep in like pretty late yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So we started the day with Alyssa and Taylor. And they're going to kind of talk through more of Taylor's HOH week. They've already kind of cleared the air a little bit about Taylor targeting Alyssa when she was HOH and why a lot of the blame went to Joseph, which is pretty truthful in terms of, how Taylor feels, at least, that she felt like she would just have done whatever Joseph wanted her to do, which is what she's telling Alyssa here, that, you know, she was just felt very impressionable and she did kind of just allow others to run her HOH, specifically Joseph. And she kind of feels like an idiot because she was told by Joseph about all these things that Alyssa was doing that week that do kind of now feel like they were maybe a little bit mischaracterized, especially the way that Alyssa tells it, specifically about the trip. That she was told that Alyssa was like laughing about it and like really rubbing it in her face and then like all this stuff. And I was like, well, no, not at all. Like, I thought it was a dumb thing to do right after I did it. I felt awful.
Yeah. And she also is like, Kyle made me feel terrible. And mm-hmm. It's like, well, you have to be more specific there, Alyssa.
Yes. Well, Taylor kind of explains, and this is sort of what we talked about during that week, that like she'd been so mistreated in the early portion of the game that she just felt like she wanted to be in with anybody. And the fact that like doing all these things and listening to Joseph and being in this fomance really kind of like seemed to get people to treat her better. And so she just started following along. And Alyssa's like, oh, I'm so, and she gets into some of the details of like some of the mistreatment by Indy, by Terrence. She still doesn't know the full extent of it, but no. Alyssa's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize it was that bad. I'm so sorry you went through that. Obviously, I wasn't part of it, but man, that sucks.
Yeah, obviously, Alyssa wasn't part of it. You know, 3 hours after move-in with Paloma in the storage room. What was it she called herself? Pumpkin spice? Seems like maybe Alyssa's full of it here.
What's the pumpkin spice reference?
It's because it was when her and Paloma were like, oh, Taylor's gonna think she can get all the guys, but we're hotter than her. We're pumpkin spice. And I'm like, this is the most basic ass thing I've ever heard. Because pumpkin spice is like pumpkin spice like latte at Starbucks. At the end of August, it becomes available and all of the basic bees are like, oh, pumpkin spice season. And so it didn't make sense at the time, but it's how she feels. And that really is telling. Darren's like, I still don't get it. It's because it doesn't make sense. But it was basically she called them pumpkin spice to act like they are going to be better at getting guys than Taylor would be. It didn't make a sense at the time, and it makes less sense now. But it's still what she said, and so I'm bringing the receipt.
Well, they're really glad that they've cleared things up, that, you know, they're kind of like more on the same page now. Again, Taylor explaining her part of it, Alyssa kind of explaining her part of it. They're both kind of blaming Joseph and to a degree Kyle in this conversation. And it lands really well, to spoil a later conversation with Kyle. And I think part of it here is that, you know, Alyssa is still, you have to understand, still kind of going through this weird feeling of I'm in love with Kyle, you know, like I love him, but also he lied to me all game. And that's when I like fell in love with him, kind of thing. Like, and she feels kind of played, but also doesn't really know what to do. And her position in the game is weird. Like, what is she supposed to do? Like, not work with him. And so she's feeling all of these things. And here's Taylor being like, ah, I had a crush on Joseph and he convinced me to do this fomance thing. And he got me to believe all these things about you. And I feel like I've been duped by Joseph. And I think that Alyssa really feels empathy and really is feeling like she can relate to what Taylor is saying. And I think that's why this conversation lands so well.
Yeah. And it goes back to also the conversation from Friday that you and Liana talked about, where Alyssa's like, no one should feel played, like no one should feel dumb. And it's because she is very much projecting that, like, if she says it to Taylor, then maybe it will help her not feel played or dumb.
Mm-hmm. So that conversation happens. She's also, Alyssa, going to talk to Brittany. And they talk a little bit more about the leftovers. Again, Brittany says that Michael wants to tell her about it. They have kind of like a heart to heart. They always seem to do this in the bathroom. I don't know why. But about Brittany's relationship, she starts crying to Alyssa. She worries about losing her partner sometimes. Being away from him for so long, you know, nothing is worth losing that relationship, being in this house. Alyssa also opens up a little bit about feeling upset about Kyle lying to her, all of that. And so this conversation also lands well with Alyssa.
I think Brittany and Taylor both, whether on purpose or by accident, have realized, like, talking about feeling insecure in a romantic relationship with a man will, you know, make Alyssa feel more comfortable and feel more empathy for you, because you're specifically calling out to how she is feeling, even if she's not. I mean, she does talk about it, but like, even if she's not specifically like bringing it up, if you bring it up to Alyssa, it opens a door in that conversation.
Men, right?
Yeah, that's what you do. You walk up and you go, men, can't live with them, can't live without them. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, that's so true. Oh my God, I never thought of that.
So Alyssa's going to talk to Kyle about these conversations and pretty much let him know about them. She says she feels that both Taylor and Brittany were being very genuine with her. Kyle, though, is like, Brittany's just trying to pull the sympathy card. She's just trying to get you to feel bad for her. You know, you can't trust them. They're devious in this game. And, you know, Monty came to us and told us everything. But even Monty, like, I'm not sold. I'm wary of Monty. He was very quick to throw that other side under the bus. He came to us immediately. Very sketchy.
The audacity of Kyle, of all people, to be like, wow, that person turned on their side too fast.
He knows better than anyone.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I also think, and he does touch on this today, but basically, now that everyone is coming to Alyssa to tell her all the leftovers tea, then Kyle's like, oh, wow, now, like, Alyssa's going to hear over and over and over again about how I'm a bad person who lied to her for a month straight. And that's not sitting well with him, because God forbid somebody not think Kyle is like perfect, you know?
Oh man. Yeah. It's just really rough that, yeah. I can't believe people would talk about him lying to her so often. It's
absolutely wild how
it's almost like maybe he shouldn't have lied to her.
It's almost like your actions in the Big Brother house have consequences in the game and otherwise, and you should think about what you're doing before you do them. Just thought.
Well, Alyssa says, look, Kyle, you know Monty more than I do, but personally, I trust Taylor more than I trust Monty. I like Taylor. I think I'd rather work with her than with him, but that's just me.
Yeah, Taylor could be more easily manipulated.
So this is important because obviously we don't have the veto draw yet, but if Michael is picked to play and if Michael wins and if Turner nominates Monty against Taylor, this is potentially, some important stuff because obviously Monty made a play to get in with this outsider group, but he is a bigger target theoretically than Taylor. And there's already talks about maybe trusting Taylor more than Monty. And so if he's on the block against her, that's relevant information. But for right now, it's mostly just like it's, you know, for this niche outcome.
Can I also say just like the fact that Kyle and Alyssa spend so much time like chatting on that butterfly pool floaty is so like it makes me depressed every time I see it. Like, it's just so sad.
Yes. So this conversation was in the bathroom, but later on the pool floaty, they are going to be. Yep. Just lying there.
What they do. Yeah.
Kyle does talk to Turner. He's worried. He's worried about Michael. He's got to know what's going on. He knows. He's smart. He can't win that veto. All right. He just can't win that veto. We can't let him play. We can't let him win.
Yep. No, he can't play and he cannot win.
Yeah.
Two things.
Now, Michael is going to talk to Taylor. And this is something that he had considered doing. Basically, we talked this through that the odds of Michael being chosen, depending on how many House Guest Choice chips there are, because I always forget if it's like one for every non-person playing or if it's just like one or two.
Like I tried to go back to like, oh, when was the last time they dumped out all the chips and how many
exactly
posts are in there? Information that will never be locked in my brain personally.
I feel like Ian knows. Maybe somebody can ask Ian. Not that we need to be pestering Ian with
Ian definitely
questions.
Here, I'll tweet Ian right now. I'm going to say, at Ian Terry, how many House Guest Choice are there in the veto bag?
Because it doesn't really change the odds that much. It's somewhere between like 60-65% odds that that Michael is chosen, with Brittany choosing Michael via House Guest Choice. But if Taylor is also willing to choose Michael for House Guest Choice, even as just a contingency of like, hey, if Monty is already chosen, choose Michael. And certainly if she's just straight up going to choose Michael, that does increase his odds of being chosen pretty dramatically, up to, I think, around like 70% or so if she's willing to do it, if Monty's already chosen, and then even more if she's willing to just straight up choose Michael.
Yes. Don't need to get into the specific statistics, but yes, it gets much more likely, which is a big, big problem for Kyle and Turner.
Right. And so, Michael's going to talk to Taylor and be, you know what? This is my life on the line. Why not? If they start talking about how they agree, Alyssa knows about the leftovers. It's pretty obvious. Taylor tells Michael about her conversation with Alyssa. And then he says, look, okay, I've been thinking through some scenarios. I was thinking all night long. And I believe that we need to keep our side of the house as competitive as possible. I think you get what I mean when I say that. And Taylor says, I understand. You know, we've been forced into a corner. You know, we just need to play this veto. Hopefully we can win it. And Michael says, yeah, I hope the picks go well for us. And Taylor says, yeah, ideally all four of us are playing. So this is, I believe it's a genuine thought from Michael in terms of like, sure, it's an idea to potentially theoretically keep the side competitive. But I believe more than anything, he's, even if he's like, just hasn't made a decision yet, he is not trying to promise her that he will use the veto on her. He is just trying to imply that he could, to make it even more likely that she would choose him if she got house guest choice.
Yeah, he's not like, yeah, and I'll pull you off and everything. He's like, yes, our side should be playing. Pick me.
Yes. So he gets that in shortly before the veto draw occurs. We get to the veto draw. Now, we have had some not great luck with veto draws in terms of the you know, competition threat being chosen, from Derek X last season to Shayna in the season that didn't happen, and in all kinds of situations here, the backdoor target often does not get chosen to play when they really try it like this,
which is why backdooring someone is a great strategy.
And it's been quite a while since like a full-on plan from the beginning to backdoor somebody hasn't worked because they whoops got chosen and whoops won the veto. It's pretty rare. So we get to the veto draw. I'm not entirely sure about the order of the first two, but I think it might have been something along the lines of Turner goes first. He draws Monty to play. Then Taylor goes next and she draws Alyssa. And now there's one spot left and three people. We got Michael, Terrence, and Kyle with just Brittany left to go. She can draw Michael's chip or she can draw house guest choice. Both of those options mean Michael. Anything else means Michael's not playing. She reaches in and I think she pulled Michael's chip straight up.
Yeah, based on a conversation later in the evening, Michael implies that Brittany chose last and Brittany chose his chip. So does not seem to have been a house guest choice.
So this
Do
is one of those...
Do you think she hypnotized the chip? Is that possible? Does it work on inanimate objects?
You know, I never saw anywhere in the hypnotism rule book that you couldn't hypnotize inanimate objects.
I think, I don't know. I also feel like, sometimes if you've got intuition, you can just be drawn to the right thing. Things like items have energy. Okay.
Yeah. So this is one of those moments that like, it was dramatic for us to see the result afterward. It took a while to find out that he was chosen because first we found out that Terrence was the host. And then it was like, okay, so Terrence isn't playing. Only one more person isn't playing. And then finally, Kyle was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be like an audience of one, you know, sitting out. It's like, oh, there it is. This is going to be exciting, I think, for the TV viewers. The veto draw is not usually very exciting, but, for it to come down to the final pick, I think will be good for TV.
Yeah, and for it to be, I have faith in the producers to edit this to be very compelling leading up to the veto draw as well. So I think that it will be very exciting. Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Michael is playing in the veto. He now has a 1-in-6 chance or probably higher, given that he is good at these things. Now, worth noting, the only people to win any veto outside of Michael and Brittany this season, who are left in the game at least, were Kyle and Terrence, the two people sitting out. Monty, Turner, Alyssa, and Taylor have all not won a single veto all season long. And so you have to assume pretty decent odds here for Michael. But, you know, it's again, you don't usually see people actually save themselves in these spots. It usually just kind of like fizzles out. Mm-hmm. But we will see.
Yeah, rare occurrence. But Michael wants to. Michael wants to win that veto.
And he does. He
gives us some great cam talk before the competition.
Yes, he talks to the cameras and he says, I am going to win this veto. I'm going to win HOH and I'm going to put Turner and Kyle on the block and I'm evicting one of them. And I'm going to have my give me the key moment. And even though it's probably not smart, I will cheer and I will celebrate and I will make them regret the day they with me, because they are not clever. They are not smart. I see through what they were trying to do to me this week.
They're not sneaky either.
They're not sneaky. I did leave that one out. Yeah,
come on. He's like, I see what you're trying to do this week. Kyle won't look at me. He leaves the room when I come in. Be careful who you piss off, because I have a lot of dirt on you, Kyle. And if I'm going down, you are going down with me. Pick your battles carefully, bud, because if I can't win this game, you can't either.
Yeah. He's ready to go. He's pumping himself up.
It's very menacing, though, because he's also whispering all of this. Yeah. And so there's just something very off about a super like intense whisper, you know? Like, did you think that was weird, or is that just me?
I think I'm just too used to whispering. But yeah, I was like, it's like,
make them regret the day they effed with me. Oh my God.
They are not clever. Not smart.
Just very intense.
In the meantime, Kyle is talking with Monty, and you can literally see his boots shaking because he's shaking in them. He's scared that Michael will win. It's like, oh man.
You can see his boots shaking because he is shaking, and that was so funny. Why did you say it like that?
Because that's the order of operations. You know, the boots are shaking, but not on their own, you know? You need to make sure that everyone knows that it's not the boots that are nervous.
Yeah, otherwise people are really concerned about boots being nervous.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how often people need things explained to them, given my Twitter mentions.
A very good point. A very good point.
So they're scared he's going to win. He hasn't lost any vetoes because, as Monty has described, Monty really feels like Michael could have easily won the veto last week that Brittany won. And the only reason he didn't was because he basically threw it. So he's pretty much won every veto he's competed in. And it's a little scary. It's scary for Monty because I'm sure he realizes that he might end up on the block if Michael wins. It's scary for Kyle because he senses a disturbance in the force because Michael is currently talking to the cameras about how he's coming for his life.
Yeah. I think Kyle's ears are burning probably.
Yeah. So a few other things are going to happen here before the veto competition. One is that Taylor, you know, post her conversation with Alyssa, is really just continuing to feel like, oh my God, like she feels bad about the whole Joseph situation. She's still obviously not entirely sure, like how much is true, how much isn't true, because there is truth mixed in with lies in terms of what Joseph actually did. I feel like she was pretty much on board with the idea that Joseph probably didn't rat out the leftovers out there. But some of the stuff that was actually true, like kind of throwing her under the bus with Michael and Brittany, and some of the like mischaracterization of how Alyssa was feeling, which I do feel like this one is weird because I do think that Joseph genuinely believed what he was saying about Alyssa, even though it wasn't true. I do think he believed it a lot of the time. I don't think that he was like intentionally misleading her in the way that it now feels.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And so I think with all of that, so when we put all of this in the context of Taylor's game specifically, she came into the house. And as we talked about, you know, week one and two, she was not given an opportunity to play the game. Everybody was against her, basically. And then after Joseph's birthday, he starts seeing, oh, actually, you know what? Like, I never felt as bad about Taylor as everyone else did, but also now I'm like really seeing how vile this energy is, and like, let's galvanize something to combat that. You know, aided by Turner's HOH. And so Taylor's whole game is founded on complete uncertainty because she was never able to get her grounding in the early part of the game because of the hateful actions of others. And so once she loses Joseph, that's a big enough blow either. But then to hear that, like, maybe he was lying the whole time, or maybe it wasn't real, I feel like she's already primed to believe that because of how poorly she's been treated by everybody else, that it's like, well, it's not that far to leap to be like, oh, and Joseph also was treating me like shit too. He just pretended he wasn't. And so I think that that's why she's just super primed to believe the worst of anybody in the house. And I think it'll get cleared up quite easily, like when she sees Joseph again, like, and when he comes out of the house and sees the fan reaction. But I can completely understand why in this situation, she is starting to feel like, oh, wow, maybe I couldn't have trusted him from day one. Maybe I've never been able to trust anybody here because everyone has treated me like shit.
Yeah. And very much like he was a rock for her in the game. And she talks about how, and she's crying to Brittany in this conversation. And it's heartbreaking to see because it really does, I think, continues to show the damage of what happened in those first few weeks. That like she is still this sort of like vulnerable because of it, where you know, the idea of Joseph, who she had had conversations with about like guys that have screwed her over before, and he was like, I'm not that kind of guy, and now she feels like, oh my god, am I the dummy that like just believed everything a guy was saying to me? And was being misled.
Unfortunately, that kind of guy also will always tell you they're not that kind of guy, right? And yeah, you just can't build anything on a foundation of sand.
Mm-hmm. Like that. And she had like dropped a note in his luggage, and she's like, "Do I look like an absolute idiot right now?" And you know, it's like you can feel just how deep that pain has gone. The idea that, you know, not only that she like kind of had a crush on him and maybe, you know, all of that stuff, but also just like the bedrock of her feeling like she was in a better place in this game is gone. And now she's also not in a good place anymore in this game. And so it's a lot.
Well, yeah. And all of this really goes to show that even though she was in, you know, a majority alliance, she's still wasn't in like that great of a spot in the game, because look how easily everything goes away from her. Look how easily everyone is like turned against her. Look how easily she becomes a target again. Right. That's gotta be a blow. Like, I know I wouldn't feel good in that situation.
Mm-hmm. So, Kyle's going to talk to Alyssa. And this is, they start out sort of like on the little, balcony thing, but they do go into the floaty room, and she asks Kyle, look, if Monty does end up on the block next to Taylor, should we really still get rid of Taylor? Like, really? And Kyle's like, look, I'm open to it. I hear what you're saying. I feel the same way. You know, I am worried that Monty, if he won next week, would come for us. Like, it does make sense, kind of. And Alyssa's like, yeah. And I don't know. I feel like Monty still isn't making any effort with me in the game at all. Like, we're supposed to be working together now, and he's still only talking with all the bros. And he's like, not talking with me at all. And I really feel like I can trust Taylor. I feel like I have conversations with Taylor. I feel like we can trust her. Kyle's only worry is what Joseph told them, that they have a final three. That's Taylor, Michael, and Brittany. And Michael and Brittany, you know, if it, we're talking about a scenario where Michael wins the veto and both Michael and Brittany are safe, how can we keep or trust Taylor in the game, knowing that they have this final three and that they have this influence over her? And, you know, I'm not sure. He says, I do think Taylor has an honest heart, but I think she's easily persuaded, which could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. Alyssa agrees. She says, but like, and that's what Taylor's telling me, that she was influenced into thinking that I was being nasty during her HOH week. So I don't know. I just feel like she's more easy to work with here. And they kind of agree. Michael obviously still needs to go, but they say for next week, yes, Monty should leave over Taylor. They don't come to a conclusion on what might happen this week because why not? Why would they? There's nothing's happened this week.
Yeah, it's like we have to kind of get through the veto before you can start planning at this point.
Mm-hmm. So talk kind of goes to Joseph. This is a long conversation. And Kyle's talking about how Joseph would go back and forth. And, you know, he would be over here, he'd be playing them, and then he'd come upstairs and he'd be playing them. And, you know, yeah, he was like saying all these things about you, Alyssa, and he was influencing Taylor's HOH to be against you. And he was, I can't believe the things he was saying about you. He was trying to convince me that you were bad. I can't stand this guy. He's such a scumbag. I really hope the TV show portrays him in that light and doesn't make him out to be some loyal guy.
Oh my God. And the other thing too is like, in addition to this, he says, oh, Monty's been playing the villain card the entire game and he accepted that. But Joseph's just a scumbag. Like, he doesn't even accept that he's the villain, basically. And it's like, how can you be sitting there? I think he genuinely believes these things. And it's just so blatantly false to everything that's been happening in the house.
I think what he meant with Monty is that he is like, he accepted the sort of like figurehead role for the other side, that they were all targeting Monty. But yeah, villain is kind of a stretch. And certainly, you know, saying Joseph is a scumbag and that the show needs to portray him as such, is like, all right. Where's the mirror that he's looking into?
Yeah, it just goes, but like, Kyle has consistently been loud and wrong, specifically about the way that he targets people of color in the house. And this, I think, is just an extension of that.
Mm-hmm. So, Brittany's going to talk to Alyssa. And now there's a couple of things here. One is that Brittany has told Alyssa the night before that about the leftovers. She went ahead and told her. Again, they talked a little bit about it earlier in the day. And so she's going to talk to her a little bit more about the leftovers forming. And she also talks to her more about some of Kyle's comments about how he was painting a target on Alyssa. And, you know, kind of like just telling her more of the story. The story that we have been telling across this entire season so far, that Kyle was the one early on who was painting a target on Alyssa's back. He was saying a lot of things about her, like that weren't super kind. He at one point seemed very much willing to let Alyssa go. And Brittany feels that when Kyle was distancing himself from her, that was him preparing to let Alyssa go if that were what was going to happen that week. But she says, I'm not trying to say that he's not like with you now or doesn't care about you. I'm just trying to let you know so that you know. I don't know what you know, but these are things that you should know. And another thing that you should know is that there were some other comments made. She starts to allude to what Kyle talked about with his suspicions about another cookout. And that's when the feeds cut.
I think what Brittany specifically says is something like, oh, there's also one more thing. And it kind of, I don't know how much to tell you because it crosses a line outside of the game. And there's, you know, a lot of this is stirring up this weekend. And obviously, Kyle's biases creating the idea of all the people of color banding together is wrong and bad. But I also think seeing what's happening, understanding it, knowing how bad it is, and waiting until like later to say it is also very bad. Because I think that the second this happened, they could have exposed it and it still would have benefited them in the game. Like they could have made it work. They were doing fine. I just think it feels very gross that they hit it for what, 2-3 weeks before being like, okay, now is the time that we need to talk about how gross this is and how it crossed a line outside of the game. I think it crosses a line outside of the game to hide it personally. And obviously, you know, Kyle's the one who came up with it, and that's very, very bad. Using it for game is also very bad.
Yeah, and you know, I agree. I think that there's a lot that Michael and Brittany sort of have to answer for in terms of how they've handled this information. And I think they know that too. We'll get to that in a little bit. I will say though, personally, from a strategic standpoint, I felt this way at the time. I still do feel this way. I think that if they had tried to go anti-Kyle at the time that Kyle was saying this, it would have backfired on them because Kyle was really, really well ingrained into the group at that point. And Michael and Brittany were very much outsiders. And I think that Kyle would have been able to spin this on them at the time. They needed to sort of like degrade Kyle's position in the group before it would have even worked, in my opinion, from a strategic standpoint. From a moral standpoint,
that makes it even grosser. That makes it even grosser, right? Where it's like, oh, we'll hide this so that we can get into a better position. And then like it just.
And I'm not saying that that is what they like. I'm not saying that that was their plan either. I don't really know what was in their heads at the time, whether it was just straight up like this is good for us, so we're not going to say anything, or if they did think this would backfire on us now, we have to wait, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, in terms of like, just looking from it from a strategic lens,
And I think that's the thing when you're playing any one of these games, you have to make decisions at different times based on what you think will push you further in the game. And you can get put in situations where morally things are, much grayer than what you would want to do. But I personally, and maybe this would be my failing in a game like this, is I think there's a point where doing what is right transcends doing what's in the game. And there's probably a way to do what's right and succeed as well. You just have to, you know, get creative and find the way out. And I think a lot of people are kind of brushing this to the side of, oh, well, they're just doing what they have to do to get by in the game. And I think that if you are one of the people making that argument, I think you should also maybe look in the mirror of why you think that way and what maybe privileges you have in your life to not look at complicated issues, because, you know, the people of color in the house don't have the luxury of playing without considering race. And it's not great that one group of people does have that ability.
Yeah. And I think that those are very good points, especially in regard to, you know, as I said, I think that like trying to turn the house against Kyle at the time, I do think would have backfired. But as we saw with the Taylor situation early in the game, when the thought process was like, well, what do? You go with your morals and go along with all of this bashing, or do you stand up? And at the time I was saying like, there is a way to stand up and make that work for your game. And we saw that happen straight up in a very dramatic fashion that literally all of the Taylor bashers, like one by one, systematically were evicted. And the people that stood up were the ones that benefited from doing that. So I do think there was a way that they could have handled this, without, so like, I think trying to rat Kyle out at the time, I think would have backfired. But there were plenty of other things they could have done, one of which being just pushing back on Kyle to him in the moment and explaining to him why it was wrong so that he would stop doing it would have been huge. I don't think they needed that to continue to sort of like drive that wedge with Kyle and the rest of the group.
And that's the thing too, is like, there's a lot of other information you can use to like create a wedge between Kyle and everyone. It's right there. He's in a showmance and everybody wants to get Alyssa out. You can use that to create more of a wedge between Alyssa, Kyle, and the rest of the leftovers. And in that moment, if you're like, hey, Kyle, like, I kind of understand where you're coming from. However, let's look at why that does not appear to be the case. You know, we could talk about how Jasmine has talked about Taylor, how like how everyone has talked about Taylor, and how all the people of color are clearly not working together. Like, look at the makeup of the leftovers. And that could be a moment where if it clicks for Kyle, he could be like, thank you, and endears them to him as well. Like, there's lots of different ways that this could play out. So yeah, just my two cents as this comes up today.
Mm-hmm. Just to skip ahead like a little bit, there is a conversation between Michael and Brittany about using this information later in the night. And even though the feeds are cutting around it, they do say basically that what they would like to do is talk to Monty and Taylor first to sort of explain to them the situation, see how comfortable they are with this information coming out, and explain to them why they held on to the information and like what their perspective was on it through these last couple of weeks. Again, the feeds cut out right around the time they were saying this, so I don't know what that explanation is. I assume that at some point we will get it, hopefully on the feeds, if not in the episodes. They do have, I assume, some kind of reason or explanation. How good it is, I think we will eventually find out, whether it's during the season or I'm assuming after the season. Mm-hmm. But they do, you know, they do have their own sort of like, because we don't know exactly what their thought process was, but they clearly have one that they intend to explain to Monty and Taylor. So
yeah.
Anyway, it is alluded to Alyssa here. And that's kind of all we see where this goes for now. Again, the feeds are cutting in and out of this a lot. So it's difficult to know exactly what is being said and all of that. Hopefully, if this does become a bigger thing, they stop doing this, because like, what, you literally showed it on your episode. Like, what are you hiding here?
Well, yeah. And that's the thing too, is it's, like they kind of did like a half turn to show us on the show to kind of galvanize it. And then I think they're like, oh, well, Kyle seems to be in a good position, so we have to go back to protecting him. Like we know what's been happening. We've seen it happening for weeks, and you put it on the show. Like, stop it. Just show us the conversation.
So that's about what we have when the feeds go down for the veto. And feeds are down for a little while. Now, this is, again, it's kind of like a nighttime veto here. Mm-hmm. So I was personally expecting like some sort of timed trial, you know, that's going to last like most of the night. But the feeds came back not too long, just like, I think like 2.5 hours or so after mm-hmm. they went down. We find out that the veto competition was slip and slide. For the veto competition.
Yeah.
It's like, we couldn't have watched this.
I'm trying to think, has slip and slide been a veto before? I can't remember. I feel like it's mostly HOH, and then they have opportunities to get prizes or a bigger scoop or whatever.
The last time they did slip and slide was still, I think, did they do slip and slide for Celebrity this season?
Oh Lord. That didn't happen like, anyways.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, it's season 19. People are saying it was a veto.
No, because was it veto in 19? Okay.
Yeah, because I was thinking recent seasons. It was still in mm-hmm. HOH. I figured it wouldn't have dipped once, but I think yeah, it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And someone also asked if a woman has ever won slip and slide, and the first example that comes to mind is when Becky like filled all of the containers.
and also I think in 15 when it was a team, it was what, Aaron and Jeremy?
I don't want to talk about that.
either way, this usually goes to the tallest, most athletic person in the cast. So right away, this is slip and slide. And I think that we can probably exclude Brittany and probably Alyssa. And that means that we've got what? Taylor, I think, could theoretically be competitive in a slip and slide. Monty is probably the favorite going into a slip and slide. Michael's going to talk about this, that like when he is sprinting outside doing sprints with Monty, he can barely do like a fourth of what Monty does. He's so fast and he's got much more of that sort of like, you know, speed on him. And then, you know, Turner is shorter, might have some difficulty, but obviously is, you know, decently athletic, might have a chance. And then Michael should be in this with a shot as well. Tall. He's got, you know, he's not like the most athletic, but he's got some endurance. He ran cross country in like high school or whatever. So it's an interesting one.
Yeah. And one thing that I've always thought about slip and slide, and I don't know if it's ever been confirmed, but I think someone who's from like maybe a more northern location that does more ice skating is just going to be better at it, or someone who like has lived somewhere that gets snowy and icy. I think it's a big advantage in the slip and slide. And I think that's why they don't really do it in BB Can. I think everyone would be like way better at it than in the States. Like, this is just my personal belief. Like, I think my toxic trait is that I think I would crush everybody in the slip and slide competition.
Well, another thing that they talked about after is that, and this matters too, there's a difference between the longer slip and slide, because the backyard is like a rectangle more than a square. There's a long side and a short side. And I believe they have done the long version, which goes the longer way, and then a shorter version, which goes the shorter way. And the longer way is often like there's like more of a slope on the slip and slide. So going up or down, whichever way, is going to be more difficult because you're slipping as you're going up the slope, versus the shorter one where it's a little flatter. And it's less about technique, more about just like size and power and athleticism. This one we believe was the longer one. There was a slope and there were some people who had some difficulty with the technique of getting up the hill. In particular, the probably favorite to win this under most circumstances, Monty, had trouble with the hill. And ultimately, the winner of the veto is Michael.
Which confirms my theory, baby, because he played hockey and he's from a snowy place.
Yes, Michael's, they talked about his technique was good. He was able to really just like, he was just wrecking Monty, according to Monty, in this competition. Turner did do decently for a little while, but apparently he was running out of steam. He didn't have the endurance for it. And so ultimately it's going to be Michael that wins the veto. Michael will be safe this week. And he has now won his fifth veto competition. Also worth noting, this was a pride themed veto. So it meant a lot to him to win this one. Now has five vetoes, tied for the record in a single season, five vetoes. He also has two HOHs, which means seven competitions total. He is two HOHs, and he even knows this, and he talked about it to the cameras in the house. He is two HOHs away from tying Janelle's record. And what I mean by that is Janelle's total record, not just the HOH record. Janelle had five vetoes and four HOHs in season seven All-Stars. That is the single season record. It has never been matched since it happened, you know, what, like over 15 years ago. Michael is on his way there with five vetoes. This is the earliest in a season that anybody has ever won five vetoes. There are four more vetoes to play in at final 7, 6, 5, and 4. Theoretically, Michael could play in them all, or he could play in no more vetoes. It's possible.
I guess it's possible, but I don't.
It's possible, but not super likely. He would have to be backdoored next week and then be unlucky enough to be the one person sitting out. So he probably has a good chance of playing in at least one more. And there are a maximum of three opportunities for him to win an HOH. There are three more HOHs he can win max, meaning he can win at 7, 5, and 3 or 6, 4, and 3. So he could crush this record theoretically if he wins a lot more. It's quite the feat at this point.
Yeah, it's wild that I feel like people have been like talking about like Michael as a comp threat, but I feel like it hasn't been as front and center as I would have thought, considering how dominant his performance has been in every competition he's played in.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing about Michael being a comp beast is that you don't usually get the comp beast. Like, usually the comp beast gets out at this point. Like, yeah. They also don't usually win a bunch of comps in the beginning. They usually win a bunch of comps in the back half. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare for somebody. In fact, I'd say this is probably going to be an entirely unique situation. Really, Janelle is probably the only other person who was winning comps throughout most of the season, mm-hmm. because she was a target throughout most of the season. This is interesting. I haven't yet like looked into like what his win percentage is, because Janelle also has the highest win percentage, I think at around like 50% or so. I'm assuming that there are going to be more opportunities for competition wins this season than there were on season 7. So she may still have the competition percentage record, which is actually like, it's not like a flashy number, but it's a pretty relevant one. If Michael had more opportunities to play, yes, then it's more impressive to have won the same amount or whatever. But
until we get Michael versus Janelle in every competition to see who wins head to head, mano a mano, you know, I don't buy it.
Yes. But worth noting, like, yeah, and they're pointing on the chat, like most of the competitions Michael has not won were he threw them like he kind of threw that veto. I'm kind of with Monty. He could have easily won that veto if he wanted to. He threw the HOH that Turner won. He was out during the envelope portion of the invitation HOH, which was a complete crapshoot. We assume he did not throw the week 1 HOH where he was second to the in hanging to Daniel. Mm-hmm. That's one of the few ones that he seemed to genuinely lose. He also claimed to have thrown the one that Jasmine won with the pies. So like, there's not a lot of competitions that he just outright lost.
Yeah. And it's when he did, it was some crapshooty stuff. And as you said, like literally night 1 walking in. And I do think that that would give anyone nerves that would maybe impact their performance in a hanging competition. Also, he's super tall, which is a disadvantage in that one.
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, the story of the season could be shifting here. I mean, if this is what's going to happen, you know, Michael going on a comp run would really sort of shift the narrative of like what this season is remembered for. I think like this is for sure historic if he manages to pull this off. He, I think, has to be talked about in the conversation of, is he one of, if not the best competitor the show has ever seen? Certainly not to that top point yet, but I think the conversation needs to be had at this point. Is could he get there?
Yeah, and it seems possible.
Yeah. So that's wild. Where we are. Michael with the veto. Now, there was a little bit of like, okay, but he did kind of imply to Taylor that he could theoretically use it on her. He is going to talk to Brittany pretty quickly after winning. She asks, "You're using it on me, right?" He says, "Yes." He said, "We just need to talk to Monty and Taylor because I want to push for Kyle to go up." And they're going to start plotting. They talk about their game plan, that they plan to rat everything out about Kyle's game from start to finish, including, of course, the cookout comments. And again, their plan is to approach Taylor and Monty first and sort of like get their feedback. Like, are you like, how do you feel about this? Are you okay with us using this information? If they're not, then they won't use it. If they are, then they will. And they also intend to, they again, they said they felt like we need to explain to them why it's happening in this way and why we didn't say anything earlier.
Yeah. And so, you know, honestly, I'm conflicted about this as well, because I feel like then it's putting, you know, more of the mental load onto Monty and Taylor. And it's like, that's not super fair. But, you know, this is the plan that they have moving forward. And they're talking about moving forward. And Brittany specifically really wants to tell Alyssa about them. And I really don't know what it is about Alyssa that makes her think that Alyssa is going to be super receptive.
Well, I think it's because she's already told Alyssa about it, and she hasn't told Michael that.
Yeah, which again is just like, it's weird. At this point, it's very clear that I don't think anything you tell Alyssa about Kyle is going to make an impact. And also, Turner is like, really loves the Kyle-Lyssa relationship. So I think it is short-sighted to think that he would put up Kyle also.
So basically the plan here is not just to sort of, so they talk about this. They plan to rat out everything about Kyle. They would like to push Kyle onto the block. The reason they're doing this is, and they said this to each other, like, you know, will this work? I don't know, probably not. But why not? Like, why not try? Like, what is Kyle going to do? Get more mad at us? Like, he just came for us. Like, we might as well do everything in our power to save our alliance and get him out of here. And hopefully it works. And the play is to essentially pull off like one of those, you know, like, look, the house came together and we all agreed, Turner, that Kyle needs to go. He is not good for this game. And he is not good for anybody, and that he needs to go. They're trying to Brian Hart him, just push him out.
You know, and it's always worth a try, right? Like, if you don't try, you can never say like what would have happened if you had tried. So I get that. And also, like, they do specifically mention like, yeah, like if Alyssa's with them, she's with them already, and it doesn't matter what we tell her. So, you know what? At least we can try to get her over.
Yeah. And I mean, we have seen Turner be very susceptible to sort of like house pressure in the past. So will it work? You know, who knows? But I think it definitely will make some kind of impact in one way or another. So that's kind of their play for now. And they're going to try and see if it can make any progress here. But they don't. They need to talk to some of the other people first before they talk to Turner. But Turner really wants to talk to Michael about having won the veto. So they have a conversation. Michael says, I do plan to use this on Brittany. Turner says, I'm totally fine with that. Don't worry about it. My target is Taylor. And it's always been Taylor. Like, oh, really? Yeah. It's your target is interesting. I definitely believe you. Turner's like, yeah. She just, you know, she I feel like she's excluded me from, you know, a lot of her end game plans. And I feel very, you know, hurt by that. And I feel like she's got to go. So Taylor has always been the target. And Michael's like, sure.
Yeah, always from day one. It was never anybody else. There was never a backdoor plan.
Yeah. He says, Michael wants to know, like, so who do you think you would nominate to replace Brittany? And he says, I'll probably nominate Terrence or Alyssa as the replacement. Spoiler alert, I think he means this in this moment.
Yeah, he definitely does in this moment. And, you know, he asks, oh, Michael, do you have a preference on who I should nominate? And Michael's like, not really. And, you know, Michael puts in some work with Turner, like, yeah, like, I really like Taylor, but like, we're at the point where we like everyone. And it just kind of happens at this point in the game. Because again, as we just said, they don't want to go to Turner with any pressure to nominate Kyle like last night.
Mm-hmm. So that's where Turner seems to be at this time. Now, there's a few other things that happen as well here. One is that, you know, now that Michael has won the veto, Kyle is kind of just like, Monty, what do we do?
Yes.
This guy, it's, what do we just need to take a shot next week, I guess. And, Terrence joins them And he's like, oh my God, just like, yeah, I guess one of the five, basically you two or Alyssa will have to go up. And then we'll take out Taylor and then we'll just wait for Michael to lose.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. You have to wait for him to lose. Also, someone in the chat said we got a reply on Twitter that there are, unless things have changed, three house guest choice. So at the point where where Brittany is picking at the end, there were three house guest choice and Michael out of what, six total chips. So
yeah, I mean that's what I was doing my math on. So that, so I think based on that math, he had a 64% chance without Taylor being willing to pick him, and then roughly like a 72% chance if Taylor was willing to pick him if Monty had already been picked.
Yeah, and then at the point of the last draw, he had a much higher
right. chance. Once you start to do the math individually, Alyssa is going to, or Michael's going to talk with Alyssa, and he says, look, there are some things that I want to tell you. Later he is going to, and I really hope this doesn't happen, but, he's bringing, so one of the things that Michael, won as part of the veto was he's going to be able to go see a movie, and invite some people to go see the movie with him. Brittany very quickly said, don't bring me, bring people that you need to talk to, you know, divide and conquer. He intends to bring, Alyssa and Turner, he has told. At the very least. And he discussed other options like Terrence and some other people. I'm not sure if he locked in on a third. But he tells Alyssa, like, look, there are things that we need to talk about later. So he has, you know, queued that up.
Yes.
So then we get a little bit of drama because ever since Michael won the veto, Kyle's been very doom and gloom. Like,
oh, yeah. He literally looks like a toddler. Like when you see him wrapped in the blanket, just like, Michael won the veto. Like it's, I keep reminding myself that this man is nearly 30.
Yeah. And he talked about this too. Like Michael said, like, the Kyle can't even look me in the eye. Like Kyle is, he doesn't know how to handle the situation. And he just kind of wants to avoid it. And now that he knows that Michael's going to stay, he's like, he's not happy. And it's funny too, because like, even just like when the veto draw happened, like Alyssa was still like jumping around. And Kyle was just kind of standing there like, Michael got picked. I didn't get picked. And I was like, Alyssa seems happy, but Kyle seems annoyed. That energy persists even after Michael wins the veto. She's trying to like be playful with Kyle. She's got a hanger. She's like poking him with it. She's like, hey, play with me.
Classic playful couple behavior.
Yeah. And he's like, oh my God, why do you have so much energy right now?
Like he tells her to take it down a notch.
Yeah. Chill. And she is like, whoa. Like, not pleased. She kind of goes away. That's when Kyle has his conversations with Terrence and Monty. And then later he's like, are you annoyed at me? She's like, a little bit. Like, you were really being weird over there. And he's like, oh my God. Like, let's talk about it. Like, I'll go wait upstairs. And she's like, I'll be a while. You can just go to bed. Like, it's fine. He's like, I'll wait upstairs. He goes upstairs and he's waiting. Alyssa like finishes her shower and she's like going into the kitchen and she's talking with Michael and Brittany, and Kyle's like up there waiting and he's like, she's not coming to talk to me. And then he comes back down and they're like, he's like, oh, I'm just gonna go to bed, like, you know, this, like, you didn't come, like, and he kind of leaves. She's like, oh my God.
Well, and the thing is like, he was a little rude to her, and then she is like, okay, I want some space, and like, I'm annoyed right now. And he's like, well, no, we have to talk about it right now. And it just like is another example of them not knowing how to like talk to each other in a constructive way, when especially when it comes to like relationship issues. Like, first of all, I feel like if someone has got a lot of energy and you don't say, hey, can you take it down a notch? You say like, hey, I'm not feeling good right now. Like, can we do this another time? Or, you know, something like that. And then if someone's like, no, you can just go to bed. I don't want to talk about it tonight. Just go to bed. It's okay. You actually can go to sleep if you're in a fight. Sometimes you feel a little better after you sleep.
Yeah, and like the thing is like most fights in a relationship, it's not about the energy mismatch, right? It's about like she's trying to engage with him on a relationship level, but he's too engaged in, you know, his feelings about the game to feel like he wants to do that, and that like strikes right at the heart of her insecurities that he cares more about the game than he does about her. And so you know, it's a mess here, right? But they're being all messy, and Alyssa is going to talk to Turner about it. She tells him about the drama. He's her sounding board here.
It goes from bad to worse, because this is where it also expands more, where Alyssa's like, and now all of this is happening and I just have to keep hearing about the leftovers from everyone. Britt had to tell me, and now I'm going to hear it from Michael, and then Taylor's going to say it. Like, this is horrible. This does not feel good.
Yeah. So she's talking about like, so I was talking with Brittany, and like, she tells him about the drama first, like, he's mad at me. But even beyond that, like, it's not really that's like, I'm really upset about. It's like all this stuff that Brittany is telling me, and like that, you know, he was coming for me. And she said, you know, she also is telling me some other things about something he said. Feeds cut.
Of course, naturally.
They come back in to Turner saying, the only people voting would be Michael and Brittany, then Monty, Kyle, and Terrence. And I'm like quickly doing that means Alyssa's on the block. He's talking about putting Alyssa on the block right now.
Like, to her when she's not feeling good, read the room.
Yeah. Turner says, well, maybe I have too much faith in pawns, but we should just have a group conversation tomorrow. See if anyone is comfortable being a pawn. I'm sure someone will volunteer. This is how things are done, Alyssa, in this game. This is how we've been doing things.
Mm-hmm. And she's just very concerned, she's especially like, no. About Monty.
Like, she's like, yeah, Monty would flip on me, right? Like, I just worried that Monty, I barely have a relationship in the game with him. I'd very much be worried that Monty would flip on me, and then I'm out, just like that. And Turner's like, I mean, he won't. Like, this, again, this is how we do things. We've been using pawns all season long. I get it. You don't understand that, right? Because it's good that Kirsten's cat is here, because he says, I'll take a note that you're not comfortable, but yeah, you're like a feral cat. You know, you just don't trust people. You know, you've been on the outside this whole time. We're like house cats. Like, we all get it.
Yeah. He says it is democratic being in an alliance with him, because they are going against the people that don't know how to live in a nice, calm society.
She says, there's no way Monty, you'll see. This is how we work, is we all talk. We make each other feel comfortable. That's why we work against the people that don't work that way. He says, whoever ends up on the block will be 100% fine with it. So if you're not 100% fine with it, then you won't end up on the block. Somebody's going to be 100% fine with it.
Yeah, but it's like, but the fact that you're not 100% fine with it, you know, it doesn't really fit in with how we've been playing the game.
He's so confident that somebody's going to like just be like, put me in, coach. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Which is wild, because when it was suggested that he could possibly be a pawn, he was furious, and also is now using that conversation where when he said he didn't want to be a pawn, he didn't get put up, as a reason for what he wants to do this week. So what turns out, Turner's a hypocrite. Who knew?
So he says, he says, and this is important too. He says he wants Taylor out. So, you know, Alyssa and Kyle have already talked about potentially targeting Monty over Taylor, though they didn't really say it in the context of this week. Certainly Alyssa would prefer for that to be the case. I think Kyle is probably more in the middle. Turner is very much wanting Taylor out. He says he took it personally that he was her first target after he saved her, not to have a savior complex or anything. But like, he would have expected a little bit more gratitude.
Yeah, it is absolutely wild the things that Turner says about Taylor here. He says that he doesn't feel comfortable with Taylor after, like, he spent the last month staying up till 4 a.m. with Taylor every night, but suddenly doesn't feel comfortable with her. He says that he saved her week 3. And now it just hurts. So it was game, but he's taking it personal. And I'm like, excuse me, sir. So which was it? You were only included in the leftovers because you were HOH, or you orchestrated it and you saved Taylor week 3? Because it doesn't really make sense that it could be both. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, Alyssa goes on like, okay, well, she's just, what she came in here to talk about is that she's just upset about what Brittany was saying. She's she brings it back to this, even beyond like the drama of tonight. Like, I just like, I can't stop thinking about what Brittany is saying. Kyle was lying to me every day, talking about taking me out, distancing himself from it, from me to prepare him for it. And like, I felt it when he did that. Like, I don't know how to feel about this, Turner. Like, tell me how to feel about this. And Turner like turns up the defend Kyle dial all the way to 11. What they're trying to do is they're trying to drive a wedge between you and Kyle. Them and Joseph, they were the ones trying to convince Kyle that you were doing the same thing to him. That's the only reason why he would ever even distance himself. Like, he thought maybe you were playing him, and that was coming right from Brittany and Michael and Joseph. I know that he has trouble expressing himself to you sometimes, but I have lots of conversations with him. I know how he feels. He definitely cares about you. Like, don't worry about it. It's totally cool. And she's like, okay. I hope you know, Turner, you are genuinely the only person in this house that I trust. 100%. Kyle's like 85%.
And that's the thing. She just expressed so much doubt and uncertainty. The fact that he lied to her every day for a month, and still she's like, yeah, but I trust him 85%. Like, okay.
Yes. And she said, and Turner's like, I know I also lied to you. She's like, that's different. Like, this, it's a very different thing. She's like, yeah, fair. So she says, Turner's the only person she trusts. 100%. And that's kind of where we leave the night off, right? So what we have right now is that Michael is going to use the veto on Brittany, or at least he intends to at this time. His goal is to expose everything about Kyle, try to get this big push to get Kyle on the block as the renom. Whether or not that has any impact on the actual nominations, we will have to wait and see. That's kind of like, if this was, because Game of Thrones is on my mind, the new House of the Dragon episode tonight, very excited. If this was Game of Thrones, right? Then this sort of battle for who's going to be the replacement nominee, who's going to be the target, that's like all the King's Landing, like political Game of Thrones machinations, right? It's like, okay, Alyssa wants Monty gone. Kyle seemingly could go either way between Monty and Taylor. Turner wants Taylor gone and doesn't even really want to nominate Monty and wants somebody to volunteer. There's going to be a lot of drama going on there. The conversation where he tries to get somebody to volunteer, the conversations about do they target Monty or do they target Taylor? That's all of like who's going to be the king or the queen or the whatever. In the meantime, the looming threat of Michael making a huge push for Kyle. Like, Michael is the Night King, and he's coming in with the White Walkers, and he's gonna, who knows what kind of impact that's gonna have on all of the other machinations going on.
I do think we'll find out faster than in Game of Thrones, though, what the Night King is going on.
So that's kind of what we have, and hopefully we actually get to see this stuff, and they're not just gonna you have to understand, if you haven't thought this through yet, the thing about what Michael and Brittany are about to do is that, like, Kyle's gonna know about it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's gonna find out, and there's gonna be, I assume, lots of debate about the comments made, about the implications being made because of the comments and because of how the comments are coming out. I think mm-hmm. accusations will be flung. Lots of "I'm not racist" will probably be said. Maybe some counter accusations will be flung about why mm-hmm. it took so long for this to come out.
I feel like when it comes out within 4.5 minutes, we will hear "I'm not racist, but" come out of Kyle's mouth.
That's pretty optimistic for timing on Kyle.
Yeah, at most. Like
So that alone, very like big stuff. But even beyond just that, just the fact that Michael is going to make a huge play here against Kyle, even, you know, disregarding the specifics of it, he's declaring war. Kyle's gonna know straight up, this guy's coming for me. He's trying to get my friend to put me up on the block. Like, the underlying tension that kind of just like sits there and doesn't get addressed, especially in this house, there haven't really been any big fights, could really bubble to the surface here as the day continues. Yes. It's definitely a day to keep an eye out on what's happening and here on the feeds.
Never count out the idea that feeds could go down for 12 hours.
yeah so that's what we got. Anything else that you needed to wanted to bring up, Kristen?
Just, you know, we've talked about a lot of the bleak parts of the game today. Something funny that happened yesterday was that they actually got chicken wings in the kitchen restock, and I guess Jasmine was asking every single week and was told wings are a luxury item, and then the second Jasmine is evicted, they got wings.
Oh boy. If you haven't checked out our exit interview with Jasmine,
very funny stuff,
make sure you check it out. Yes. You can also find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. We'll be playing some Goose Goose Duck today, and we'll see how much I'm able to pay attention to the games, as I will likely have the feeds and also up and running.
Oh, I'll meet you in agriculture to talk about the feeds.
Yeah. So come hang out with us over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Kirsten will also be streaming. Make sure you watch Kirsten over there on Twitch. Let's see. We got an episode tonight. I think it's at a different time. I think it's at 8:30.
Yeah, it starts at 8:30 on the East Coast because of football, some sort of sport.
Yeah, because I think of football.
I'm pretty sure it's an NFL related.
So 8:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. I will be live on Twitch watching the episode, and then we'll be live after the episode to recap what goes down on tonight's episode of Big Brother 24. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, I will be back to update on everything that does happen today on these Big Brother 24 live feeds. Find me over on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Check out all of the Among Us videos that I've been posting. Very fun. Kirsten, what are you up to?
Yes. Yeah, so every week talking pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics with Sasha Joseph over on Mess Magnet. So check that out. We're trying to get renewed, so any subscription helps right now. Love Island is just wrapping up, and Brian Scally and I have been covering it over on the Hot Dummies on Island Speed. It's been a super fun season. Check that out as well. BoJack Horsepod, Kowski Cast, all of that fun stuff. And follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What.
Yes. And of course, as I mentioned, House of the Dragon is going to be on tonight, episode 2. I am doing the book club podcast this season with Josh and Rich. Very fun stuff. If you are watching the show, check out the post-show recaps book club podcast. You'll hear my thoughts alongside some other very fun people. All right. That's right. We have for you today. Thank you all so much for joining us. And I will see all of you next time.